The 2002 Oakland Athletics found themselves in a difficult bind. They had done very well the previous year, in fact making it to the first round of the playoffs. But then during the offseason, their team was raided by some of the big East Coast teams, and they lost three of their top players. So now they had to find a way to become competitive again, but within a very strict budget restraints and with a small market and all that. So Billy Bean, who is a former baseball player himself, is the general manager, and he finds a rather ingenious way to make the Oakland A's competitive despite these economic constraints. Now you say, well, that's not exactly a winning formula for a movie, but oddly it is. It's the basis for this new movie, Moneyball, starring Brad Pitt as Billy Bean, and it's a wonderful movie, and it's a great reflection, I think, on leadership. And on sort of the psychology of success, what makes success personally and professionally possible? And therefore, it's also, though this is, I'm sure, far from the intention of the filmmaker, it says something very profound about the spiritual life. So first, a little background on the film, the story of which is fascinating as it unfolds. Billy Bean makes this breakthrough because of this young fella named Peter Brand. He's played by Jonah Hill in the movie. And this is a young, Yale-trained, very smart kid, a junior baseball executive, very little experience. But he stumbled upon a formula. He asked a couple basic questions, namely, what wins games? Well, getting people scoring runs. What scores runs? Getting people on base. And so the key is finding people who have a knack for getting on base, whether it's through hits or through walks, or through being hit, whatever works. And he figured out this metric to determine who's best at getting on base. But here's the interesting thing. He found that those who actually got on base the most were often undervalued or underappreciated by the baseball establishment. They were not the ones who got the adulation, who had the highest statistics, but they were, in fact, the ones who would win games. So he trains Billy in this method, and they resolve they're going to remake the Oakland A's according to this metric. They're going to get players who aren't that expensive to acquire, but who actually will be very productive. I think that maybe the pivotal scene of the whole movie is when Billy Bean and his assistant present this plan to a whole room filled with baseball executives and scouts, these kind of grizzled old veterans of baseball. And the scouts are discussing how they're going to put together this team, who are the best prospects. And they use language like, this guy, has the best body, this guy's the most athletic, this fellow, boy, the ball jumps off his bat, this guy's got confidence. And finally, Billy Bean, who hasn't announced his plan yet, but he shouts out with exasperation, but do they get on base? So they have all these gifts, and they have all these attractive qualities, but do they get on base? And that's now what he's going to pursue as he assembles a team. So he does so with the help of his assistant, and they get this team on the field. Now, needless to say, the scouts are not happy about this. The baseball executives aren't happy about it. The manager's unhappy about it. The sports writers are unhappy about it, and so are the fans. So no one really trusts that he's seen this thing properly. He gets the team out in the field, and they get off to a very slow start. And Billy goes through a terrible ordeal as he's being critiqued from every quarter. Every time he turns the radio on, he hears a criticism of his team. He can't bear to stay in the stadium while they play. But he sticks to his guns. And eventually this island of misfit toys, as he put it, this team he's put together, gels and then actually excels and ends up with a 20-game win streak toward the end of the season, the longest in the history of the American League. So it's a movie that's kind of a success story. It's kind of a Cinderella story. It's going against the grain. But again, I want to go back to this whole question of leadership. It seems to me, and the movie makes this real clear, the most important thing in a leader is clarity of vision. The leader knows what he wants. No ambiguity. There's no confusion. He knows what he wants. The second most important quality of a leader is his willingness to do what it takes to achieve that end. I think that's it. Clarity of vision and then a strength of will to achieve the end. I thought of Lincoln a lot during the movie because I think he's in some ways the paradigm of leadership in our American culture. You know, Abraham Lincoln was no great economist, didn't have a lot of government experience. He was not an experienced or skilled legislator. But at the darkest moment in our history, when we faced our greatest challenge politically, Lincoln clearly knew what to do. Lincoln knew what the goal was, which was preserving the Union. He famously said, if I could save the Union by freeing all the slaves, I would do it. If I could save the Union by freeing some of the slaves, I would do it. If I could save the Union by freeing none of the slaves, that's what I would do. In other words, he knew what he was about. Secondly, he was willing to do what it took to achieve this goal. So watch Lincoln now in the course of the Civil War. Is he goes through a bevy of generals until he finds the one who will accomplish his purpose. And all these generals, like McClellan most famously, had all sorts of supporters. Lincoln, nope, I will get rid of them, I'll get rid of them, I'll get rid of them, until I find the man that I want. He eventually found him, of course, in Ulysses Grant. And there was a huge critique of Grant. Many said, oh, he's unqualified. And then once he began fighting, people said, oh, he's a butcher, you know, this terrible General Grant. Lincoln said, I cannot spare this man. He fights. I mean, he knew Grant would do what he needed done. And then he added, of course, playfully, because people would accuse Grant of being a drunk, send a case of Grant's whiskey to all my generals. You know, it's like Lincoln knew the goal and he knew the means required to achieve it. And that made him the greatest leader in our history. Now, look at it in a spiritual context. Gospel of John, those two young disciples of John the Baptist come up to Jesus. Jesus turns on them and he says, what do you want? That's a very important question. That's an indispensable question in the spiritual order. What do you want? The right answer to give, of course, is I want holiness. I want eternal life. I want friendship with you. It's all saying the same thing. Clarity of vision in the spiritual life is indispensable for success in the spiritual life. Eternal life would be the spiritual version of scoring runs. See, Billy Bean knew what he wanted. It wasn't, oh, players that look good. Players that, boy, the ball jumps off the bat. Players that have, you know, this confidence. Who cares, finally? I want players that can score runs. Lincoln knew what he wanted. I want to win the Civil War, period. And nothing distracted these two figures from that goal. So in the spiritual life, what do you want? That's a good question, and a lot of people are unable to answer it. And that's why they drift. If you ask people, even good people, you know, people of goodwill, but they don't know what they want, and that's why they drift around. What's required to achieve this end? And I'll go through the whole list of spiritual practices and so on. What goes wrong? What goes wrong frequently is we get distracted from all this by a thousand allurements. So the culture, the wider society will say, you know, oh, no, no, what you want is pleasure. What you want is power. What you want is people to think highly of you. What you want is worldly success. And we get distracted by all those things. Or we get criticized. It always happens. Lincoln was criticized. Billy Bean's criticized. Whenever you're on beam, you'll get criticized. So people say, oh, no, 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 you're wasting your time. You know, you're not living the life you're supposed to live. The ability to see clearly what you want and then have the courage and the willpower to stay on it is decisively important in the spiritual life. Now, extrapolate as well from the individual to the institutional. How many, and I pose it as somewhat playful, maybe somewhat tendentious question. How many dioceses, how many bishops, if you ask them, what do you want? What is it you're trying to do in your diocese? Could answer it unambiguously, could answer it clearly and simply. President Lincoln, what do you want? I want to win the Civil War. Everything else is secondary. Bishop, now fill in the blank, what do you want? What is it that you want? And are you willing to do what it takes to achieve that goal? You know, there are a lot of institutions in the church that get bogged down with all sorts of extraneous concerns that also have bureaucracies that are much more interested in self-preservation than actually achieving the end. Are there bishops who are willing to make a move, make the decisive move, even hiring and firing, in order to achieve these ends. Moneyball is a really interesting portrait of leadership in the world of baseball, but I think the insights we get from it can benefit anybody who's walking the spiritual path.